All right. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Gaslighting the Warfighter. It is me, Tim Jensen. I am riding solo today because our dear friend Rosie Torres is up on the hill right now, pressing the flesh with all the individuals on Capitol Hill that we need to in regards to some big news that is happening this week. So we've been working on this for quite some time, as you all may know. And if you're listening in for the first time, let me get you up to speed. Over the last 20 years, there has been a movement that has been going on within the veteran community to address toxic exposure. And, you know, 3.5 million veterans have been exposed to significant carbons and different types of cancerous materials that we've been exposed to in our time in service, specifically in Iraq and Afghanistan and plenty of other countries across the globe during the global war on terrorism. And lo and behold, we all have been dying from it. Who knew, right? So it's like Agent Orange, Vietnam all over again. So with that being said, you know, there's been some incredible minds that have gotten together over the years and have put together some legislation to address this. And it has come to be known as the Honoring Our Pact Act of 2021. It has been renamed the Heath Robinson Pact Act. And this week, it's going to cloture in the Senate because we already got past the House. Now it's in the Senate. We need 6 votes to get that clear. And once that is done, it goes right to the president's desk. So today we have a very special guest to join us as Rosie's up on the hill doing her thing. We thought we'd bring our dear friend who has got into the fight with us about 3.5 years ago. And that's the one and only, you know him well, John Stewart. And I want to say thank you for joining the show, John. Big week ahead.
Very big week, Tim, as you know. I mean, first of all, thank you for all you've been doing on this. I mean, working your ass off and getting the word out and getting your whole community involved. And it's made a real big difference. This is, you know, we've been trying to get it through the Senate for a very long time, as you know, and there were a lot of negotiations that were going on between Senator Tester's office, who is the chairman of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee and the ranking member, Senator Moran of Kansas. And the big news was last week they came to a compromise on it, and a bipartisan compromise, which is like a unicorn down in DC, obviously. But and so we have been promised a vote. So Tuesday, which is tomorrow, they're going to bring it up for, you know, what they call cloture. You need, because of how just utterly bizarre the rules are in the Senate, you need 60 senators to agree to debate the Honoring Our Pact Act, the Heath Robinson Honoring Our Pact Act. If we get the 60 votes, and we feel, you know, we are cautiously optimistic, we're close. I think we know we have 57 at current count, at least what we've got. And we're hoping that we're going to go down there tomorrow morning and kind of bang around in the offices to see if we can grab that last 3 or 4. If we get that, then we get 30 hours of debate. Then they have to have another vote, 60 vote threshold, to end the debate. And if we can get 60 votes to end the debate, then we can go to the floor of the Senate, where we need 51 to pass this thing. And if we get that, obviously it's going to go back to the House, but the House has already made a deal that they'll have a straight vote, no amendments, none of that sort of thing. And if we can get past that, obviously, then it can go to the president's desk. So that's, you know, we're certainly a hell of a lot farther than we were, as you mentioned, 3.5 years ago. I'm cautiously optimistic, but I've been in this position before with some of the 9/11 bills and seen it get fucked up the last minute. So I never count anything until it's done, but this is certainly the best position we've been in.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been a long road. There's been people on it that have been, you know, doing this far longer than you and I, regards like Rosie Torres, like 13 years, you know.
Hey, Rosie's the one who got me involved. Rosie and Leroy, you know, when they came to us about, I don't know, 4 years ago, whatever, because she had seen, I guess, some of the similarities between what was going on with, like you said, the global war on terror veterans and what happened in 9/11 first responders at Ground Zero. Ground Zero being sort of like the OG burn pit, you know, it's the same. It's the same stuff. It's all these materials and covered in jet fuel or diesel or whatever it is that keeps these things burning. And we've seen a lot of the same illnesses and exposures in the 9/11 community that we see now in the veterans community. So we're hoping that this bill begins to address, as you were saying, you know, I mean, look, even folks that we've had in this fight who are no longer with us. I mean, you know, Sergeant Wesley Black and Captain Kate Hendricks Thomas, like people that have been working with us that unfortunately have succumbed to these toxic exposure illnesses and injuries. So it's, you know, it's, we're cautiously optimistic, but it's hard to be happy.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. And to your point, like, you know, how many of those names, you know, at least a dozen, you know, that we've seen over the last 3 years that have fallen off the table, right? Just in this fight alone, you know, Dr. Kate Hendricks Thomas probably being the most recent. And that story is incredible, incredible. Her perseverance and her willingness to take this fight all the way to the grave. You know, it's, and this story is, you know, same with Wesley Black and so many and so on. And it's absolutely incredible that we even have to, you know, be having this conversation, right? Because it wasn't but 2-3 weeks ago that it was, hey, you know, this bill costs too much money, or the infrastructure of the VA cannot support the bill itself. But we all know that not to be true when they're giving $700 million to Ukraine, which has nothing to do with the United States, right? But we're shoveling all this money to another war. That's awfully, ultimately going to, you know, kill more people than the actual combat itself. And it's madness. It's madness to me.
I agree with you, Tim. And I mean, I think that's, in some ways, that $40 billion they sent over to Ukraine, for me, was the last straw of anyone being able to stand up and say, well, geez, this is a big bill. First of all, it's part of the cost of waging those wars. So you can't, they oftentimes act as though this is some sort of strange additional added bonus being granted to veterans, but it's not. This is the consequence of their service. And just because the government hadn't recognized it as such doesn't mean that's not the case.
And
they can act all they want as, well, geez, we didn't budget that. Well, that's not the veteran's problem. That's your problem.
Right. Yeah.
You know, if you're building a house and you forget to, you know, put money in for the garage, that's not the fault of the people that are building it. That's the fault of you for budgeting it.
Right.
And that's really where we're at.
Yeah.
But I'd be hard pressed to think that there's a senator that voted for that $40 billion to Ukraine who's not going to stand up and go, oh, right, we should probably take care of our own business first.
I think that stands to be seen, right? I think, and one of the most profound things that I remember you saying early in the beginning of this, and it stuck with me for so many years, is this idea that, you know, in a lot of these conversations that have happened with these representatives in Congress and the Senate has been, you know, well, these guys are just, you know, trying to defraud the government. Like, in what universe does a 17-year-old say, you know what, I'm going to join the military so I can get disabled and I can get my $1,700 a month for the rest of my life?
Yeah, it's the dumbest fucking thing that they say, you know, and even in the idea, like, defraud them of what?
Right.
Healthcare for colon cancer? Like, what sort of madness is this? Like, it's not,
it's bizarre.
You know, look, if somebody's saying to you, like, yeah, I my back's out, but the truth is, like, these are toxic exposure illnesses and injuries, and there's a prescribed list of conditions that are caused by your exposure. And by the way, like, it's not just burn pits. We've got to recognize that, you know, in war, soldiers are exposed, whether it's depleted uranium, whether it's, you know, Camp Lejeune and benzene, whether it's Fort McClellan, whether, you know, all these different areas of toxic exposure have to be addressed.
Yeah.
It's not just about the things you can see. They've gotten better with, like, traumatic brain injury and things like that, but toxic exposure has always lagged behind. And all of this stands on the shoulders of the Vietnam veterans who fought for God knows how many decades to get Agent Orange exposures, you know, recognized. And they were gaslit by the government in the same way that the global war on terror veteran is being gaslit, and the same way that the Persian Gulf War veteran was being gaslit. You know, it's the same story.
Right.
And we're really hoping that this legislation not just addresses getting good environmental science into the VA, getting good toxic exposure medicine into the VA, but also sends a message to the government that this is a part of every war that has to be addressed going into it.
Yeah.
The money's got to be there going in. If you can't put the money in going in, then don't go.
Yep. 100%. You know, and the interesting thing here is, like, we live in a society where 1% of the total population defends the borders, defends the nation, defends the ideals of this very idea of America, right? And as soon as those individuals get back, we just shit and piss all over them and throw them to the side, be like,
first, ignore them.
Go die in the corner.
That's right. and by the way, like, and the, you know, when you think about the juxtaposition between how much we pretend to support the troops, how many lapel flag pins and how many, you know, discounts at Chili's and how many thank you for your service ribbons and all that. When the truth is, these, as you mentioned, this small percentage of people, and not just the veteran, because I think in the veterans community, you know, there's a certain stoicism about conditions that they face or how it's their families.
Yeah.
It's their caregivers, their families. Those are the ones that bear the brunt of the government's apathy. And that also has to change. You know, these benefits aren't just, you know, as the VA's whole motto is, you know, for those who bear the brunt of war, the widow and their orphan. And, you know, I think that in some ways it's the military is designed so that only a small percentage serve, so that politicians have more leeway to do what they want in terms of these, you know, overseas adventures. Yeah. And I also think, you know, we've got to change that mentality that, like, the military is its toys. You know, the budget this year for the Defense Department is $800 billion. $400 billion is going to defense contractors.
Right. Right.
You know, that's not the value of the military is the men and women. And if you're not, if your budget is a list of your priorities, our priorities are upside down.
Yeah. And think about that, like $400 billion going to the military contractors, the same contractors that poisoned every individual that went over to these places.
And did it because of a profit margin. They could have done incinerators. They had the technology. They didn't put them in because it would have cut into their profit margin. And in a normal circumstance, you could sue them for that.
Right.
But contractors are given sovereign immunity overseas. And so you can't even, if you're a soldier that had to sleep next to a burn pit, you can't sue Halliburton. You can't sue Kellogg, Brown, and Root. Those guys get their billions in profits and you get fucking nodules, that's how it goes.
I've always scratched my head to that. It's like, you know, these are some of the most brilliant minds within the military and, you know, some of these military, you know, industrial complex organizations. You know, they don't hire stupid people, right? But, you know, we look at K2. Who was the genius that thought that leap pad was the greatest place that we need to be sending Americans into Afghanistan that's surrounded by radioactive material in an open pit? I don't get it.
And look at the things that happened to them. I mean, boy, they suffered some of the weirdest illnesses.
Yeah.
I mean, like degenerative nerve conditions.
Absolutely.
And then to come back and for 20 years, 25 years, be told, yeah, you just have like a little bit of stress. You know, this is it's like, yeah, I don't know. I can't move my legs. And you're like, yeah.
You're a
not
pill seeker.
Sure that was because you were standing in purple ooze, but you know.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's absolutely insane. But you know, I think, you know, along this adventure, what I've learned along the way has been, you know, the VA has its own issues, right? And, you know, I'm a product of that, and I've been in and out of that system, and it's not the best, right? And, you know, certainly there's a room for improvement. But during this whole adventure, what I've really learned is it's our Congress. It's our Congress that is dragging the feet, right? Because when we sat through the SVAC, you and I were there together, and through that testimony of the secretary, we learned all the things that the VA is doing, and the Congress has not released the money for, like the 21 facilities that are still inoperable that could be treating veterans right now, the two undersecretaries that have not been seated, the employees that they're grossly under, you know, they don't have enough employees to serve the population right now. But all that comes down to money, which has been approved, but the Congress has not released those monies. So is it the VA that's not serving the individual, or is it the representatives that hold the purse strings that are screwing over the veterans? That's the real question.
Well, look, any bureaucracy is going to have issues. One of the biggest issues with VA is that the Pentagon views it as an entirely separate institution and doesn't necessarily recognize the connection between the Pentagon and the Department of Defense and the veterans that it creates. Right. So information sharing between the two of those, I mean, I've been on this for, I can't even tell you how many years, but they used to have two computer systems. One was called Alta and one was called Vista. One was at the DOD and the other was at the VA. And those two computer systems couldn't communicate with each other. So if you had your information, so again, all of the onus of care, of advocacy falls on the veteran to try and figure out. I mean, they were asking guys, you know, we talked about Gina Cancellino, suspect, passed away from her phone. And they went to her, you know, when he was on his deathbed, and were like, do you have any pictures of him near a burn pit? And she's like, you're the Department of Defense. You know where he was. What the fuck are you asking me for? So that information has to be, the information flow has to be better. The bureaucracy between the Pentagon, you know, and there's very little oversight at the Department of Defense. It's the only government agency that's failed any audit that it's ever had.
Yeah.
There's almost no oversight. You're talking about $400 billion going to contractors that, you know, there's no auditing that they passed. So what they do is they bring a tremendous amount of scrutiny to the individual veteran. You got to go before medical boards. You got to go before an appeals process. They've set up the VA as though it were an insurance company as opposed to a place of comfort and help.
Right.
They should be your advocate, not your adversary. But that's not how it's been over these years, obviously, for money. So, you know, there's a lot of issues in there, but you're dead on right that a lot of it is also the money.
Yeah. And yeah, that was one, you made a great point there in talking about advocacy. And that was something I made sure that I asked Secretary McDonough when I had the opportunity was, you know, when he, right before he was walking in there, I was like, what are you going in there to do? Are you going in to advocate for us? Or are you going in there to talk about your job?
And great question.
And he actually, you know, it sounded like he advocated for us for the first time in my adult life listening to an individual speak. And there's been some really good, you know, secretaries, Shulkin being another incredible human that's been in this fight for a very long time. But that was one of the very first times I actually heard the secretary speaking as an advocate for the community and not, a bureaucrat within the system. And that was really great to hear.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I do think he's trying to change the culture. It's really hard to come into a place that, you know, it's, these things are aircraft carriers, you know, they're hard to turn on a dime.
Yeah.
But I do think that culture change, and what's so important about this being a legislation fix, as opposed to just an executive fix, is he's not always going to be there.
Yeah.
And you don't know, what administration or what executive and how they're going to view these various issues. And so the reason why it needs to be codified into law is to make sure that the veteran is protected in the most robust way possible. That's something that can't just be undone with the stroke of a pen.
Yes.
And so I've seen a big sea change in the way that they've been viewing this, even over the past 6 months. You know, when we all first got together 3.5 years ago, it was, you know, I remember that room just feeling the defeatism, you know, when we all sat together and we were saying, what would fix this? And everybody said, well, I mean, if we could get a comprehensive presumption bill, yeah, that would fix it, but we're not getting that. So we were thinking maybe we could, and everybody was trying to almost negotiate against themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they've been so beaten down by that insider system in Washington. But the change was when everybody started to gain that confidence and work together as a unified team, you really saw how much more powerful they were.
Yeah.
And how they started to make those changes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I would be remiss to say, and I'm, and you know me well enough, I'm not a suck ass, but you know, you've seen me in these conversations, but
yes, sir.
I have to say, you know, one, it's been incredible getting to know you over the last few years, and seeing your love and your passion as an American, but more importantly to these issues that affect human life. And I don't think that we'd be able to be in this position as, today if it wasn't for yourself, John Feel, and the incredible conversation you bring to this issue. And there was something, you know, in our last conversation we had in D.C., right? It was on that Saturday rally at the Rolling to Remember, which was an incredible event. But there was some disappointment there, and I think you got some of that disappointment out, and you made mention to it just a minute ago. And I want to give you a little moment here to talk about that, in the sense of, like, this is an American issue. This is not a military issue.
That's right.
And you know, we need to show up, and that's where the apathy of this country in our voting and everything that we do, you know, it really comes through, and we need to change that. And I want to give you a little moment for that.
Well, it's about oversight. I think you're exactly right. I think the political system tries to isolate itself and insulate itself from oversight. And the only oversight is really the eyes of the American people and the caring of the American people to try and take on these issues in a way that is impactful. Because as you've seen throughout all this, I mean, look, man, look at the difference between when we were just having like conversation in DC to when we went out to Wilmington, North Carolina, to when we went out to Kansas City, Missouri, and Indianapolis. You know, when we took the fight to the localities, to the constituents, you saw a real sea change in the way that the politicians viewed what you were doing. People don't realize, like, you know, Tim and I, when we went down to Burr and Tillis' office in North Carolina, down in Wilmington, like it was different. And I think that, you know, look, everybody's lives are complicated and busy and difficult, but it's important, especially for things that you really care about, to make the effort to involve yourself and to let the people know who are making the change or holding off on the change, that you're part of the oversight committee.
Yeah.
You know, that you're able to advocate, because it's the only way that we can get things improved in a country that, you know, I don't think any of us think we're living to our potential right now, but certainly I don't know anybody who doesn't think that we've come close to touching, you know, the greatness that we can have.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's an enormous thing. And I think, you know, I wasn't disappointed in the rally, and it was more about the politicians.
You know,
I just get sick of tweeting support and then not showing up. But I do think the veterans community has gotten used to having to carry their own ball. And I'd love to see more people express real support.
Yeah. Yeah. Share the burden, right?
That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's exactly right. Well, I really appreciated you giving me the time to do that, and all the support and all the fun we've had along the way, and all the good fights we've gotten into with some people. And, It's been great.
Yes. Yes, sir. It's been an absolute joy. And, you know, to stand shoulder to shoulder with you on this issue has been a lot of fun with Rosie, with Leroy, go down the list. Right. It's been absolutely incredible. And, you know, I would be remiss in my beliefs in saying, you know, sir, you should be recognized by the president for the things that you do for the people of this country. Between the 9/11 and what we're doing here with burn pits and toxic exposure, you're an incredible human. You're somebody that
we're not there yet. And we're not there, but we're almost. Call your senators, man. We're on that 5-yard line, man. Call your senators. This is the week.
Yep. And the VFW has made it very easy, right? You can go to vfw.org, go to their political actions page, and you'll find the preformed email letter. Now, all you have to do is put your name and your zip code into it, hit enter, text list, then 1 minute to do. And we've been doing it all weekend. We've been pushing this all around. So, you know, if you haven't done it yet, go to vfw.org, go to the political action page, and then fill out that email. Send it out. It goes to your state.
Hit the phone calls, too, because there's nothing they hate more than their phones blowing up.
That's very
bothers
true.
The hell out of them.
It's very true. Very true.
All right, man.
Well, John, thank you for
really
your time.
Good talking to you, Tim. And listen, man, hopefully we'll get a chance to celebrate something great.
Yes.
I'm feeling cautiously optimistic.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, sir. And I'm looking forward to it. Right. And we'll see you again
soon. Great work on your end, man. Having that grassroots stuff involved there. Boy, that made all the difference. Right.
Anytime so I get to so put much. A band together, it's good stuff.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, John. Dude. Thank you, sir.
I'll see you, man.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. So this is the action that is happening this week up on Capitol Hill. Cloture starting tomorrow, I believe, at 12 Eastern time. That's 11 Central time. Cloture will begin, and you heard it. They have about 30 hours to debate before cloture ends. And we need your help. We need you to go to vfw.org, fill out the preformed email or pre-made email, and send that to your two representatives of the Senate that from your state. And it's very simple. Just name and your zip code, press enter, and it fires it off. You get a receipt, and it tells you who your senators are, if you don't know who they are, because, you know, some people don't. But that's okay. So we need you guys in the fight. This is it. This is the final week, and hopefully we'll be sitting together with the President of the United States and signing this into law. And, you know, it's been a long, long time coming from Rosie. I'm sure, and myself, we appreciate you guys and all the help that you've been providing, listening to the show, spreading the great word, getting involved with your representatives. It's all been worth it. And we're almost there, and we'll get this thing done. So, ladies and gentlemen, more to come. We will be probably having another show later this week. As cloture ends, and hopefully celebrating. So we'll see you then. From Rosie and myself here at Gaslighting the Warfighter, if you want to check out previous shows, you can download us on any podcast platform that carries podcasts, or you can go back on the Gruntsville Facebook Live and watch all previous episodes. And we'll see you again very soon. Until then, be kind to one another, wash those stinking hands, and we'll see you soon.